Okay. Today we're going to talk about loving your female neighbor. We actually just spent, and I just want to give a shout out to all the couples who were there yesterday for the couples retreat. You guys just did incredible work. But the foundation of that was looking at how we're different. At Friends Church, we have this belief that our spirituality kind of breaks down into two simple little things. Love God, love more, love something bigger than yourself, and love your neighbor. Loving your neighbor seems like the easiest of that, doesn't it? And yet what we've found time after time is if you don't know your neighbor, if you don't understand your neighbor, if you don't feel like you get your neighbor, you don't love them well. So a lot of our challenge to help you guys love your neighbor is to introduce you to your neighbors. And we've done all kinds of neighbors over the last little while. We just did an online series, Love Your Porn Addict Neighbor. We did Love Your Syrian Person Neighbor. Love Your Transgendered Neighbor. We've done all sorts of different religions. You name it, we've done it. It's been incredible. You can tell people go, oh, that group of people that I didn't know, that I was a little bit scared of, that I didn't know what to do with, I know somebody from that group. They seem kind of like me. And suddenly the ability to love increases. And so we do this to help you guys meet a group of people that maybe you don't know, maybe you don't understand how to love. We do it deliberately. And over the last couple years, I've spent a lot of time studying this issue. So today we're going to do it with a group of people, half our population, women. I know it kind of seems ridiculous that we would do a love your female neighbor. So we're going to learn today about half of our population. Why, you think? Why would we do this? Because we've realized in our research that about half of our population doesn't seem to understand the other half. And not, you know, understand. I'm talking at a fundamental core level that doesn't understand. Most men do not understand women. Many of us just think women are just men. They're just kind of better looking than us. But we're the same, right? Everything's the same. At least we should be the same, right? Many women are embarrassed or ashamed of traits that are distinctly female. That's the one that I think makes me the most sad. How we don't celebrate women, but we've created a society and a culture where women can't even celebrate themselves. They have to apologize for their traits. They have to apologize for their strengths. Just because they're different than male traits, suddenly they're less than? I've often talked and said, women have this trait. And people say, Vince, you can't say that. You're saying something negative about women. I said, well, no, I don't think I am. I just said that's a female trait. And they're like, no, you can't say that. Because to say something is female means it's negative. Isn't that horrible? Today I want to change some of that. Or at least as much as I can. You've heard me say it before. If we speak about evolution, survival of the fittest, whoever can propagate their species wins, within 10 years the medical profession feels that men will no longer be needed in this world for anything. Women will be able to fertilize their own eggs. So guys, you got about 10 years of sperm donor, and then the only job that men can do is done. We're out. So let's make it a really great 10 years, can we? Everyone, bring your A game, geez. Women do amazing things. I work with a woman leader. One of the things I struggle with is I don't know how to teach her leadership because I only know masculine leadership. But I'm watching her learn, and I'm watching her develop, and I'm watching how she does things, and I'm going, man, I need to learn some stuff from her. Profoundly and deeply, I believe men and women are different. Not unequal, different. We're not the same. We want equality. In fact, again, women are better than men, I think, for the most part. In most contexts, women seem to be better than men. Women CEOs outperform male CEOs. Women CEOs have less inappropriate actions that they've done that take out their careers and wreck companies. So today I want to celebrate women. I want to make sure that we identify differences, but I want to celebrate women. So when I say this is a female trait, I want you to hear profound respect in my voice. That women are incredible. But for too long, we haven't let women stand up and be women. And today as a community, I want to challenge you all to change that. For me, this journey started a while ago. But recently, it kind of came to a really important moment. I met somebody. Her name's Jillian. She's a trained psychologist. She's a former pastor. So she knows kind of what my role is like. Right now, she's a university professor. She works with clients as well. But I kind of think within maybe 10 minutes of meeting each other, we all of a sudden, I remember thinking, me and her need to do some work together. We need to share this conversation with the world. Because she was able to talk about women in a way that challenged me so much. I've been apologizing so much over the last couple of weeks. Going, oh yeah, that's masculine. Sorry, I apologize. Oh, I'm assuming that my way is the right way. Oh, I apologize. Oh, I'm assuming. And her voice keeps coming into my mind going, hey Vince, what about this? So today I'm going to invite her up. Come on up, Jillian. Now, I just want to say, we're going to talk about traits. Probably about 90% people line up their physical gender to the traits that we're going to talk about. Some of you don't. That's fine. Often, the stuff we're going to talk about can be a little bit triggering for certain people. That's okay. I want you to just maintain mindfulness. So remember, the observer, watching what's going on in your mind, when you feel yourself freaking out, just be like, wow, I'm freaking out right now. Okay. If you feel that collapses and you can no longer be mindful, just take a walk outside. Go for a walk. Go for a walk around the building. Whatever you need to do to just feel comfortable in this moment. This isn't to try and trigger, but I don't know what kind of the questions you guys are going to ask. So I don't know where this conversation is going to go. Is that a fair thing to ask of you guys? Mindfulness, if you need it, take out. If you see someone walk out, don't everyone watch them walk out. That's just rude. As always, you can type in or text questions into us. 403-818-3231. We'll do our best to answer with as many questions as we can. We have limited time, so we're going to move. Welcome, Jillian.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
Nervous.
Of course.
Excited. I love that my voice is in your head. That's my life goal as a psychologist. Hear my voice.
I have a lot of voices in my head from a lot of psychologists. It's a little crowded up there. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure.
Married?
Yes.
How long?
A year and a month.
Wow.
Yay.
It's all bliss, right?
Yeah.
Just total bliss.
They say the first year is the hardest, so we're good. We're fine. Yeah.
Good. Right now you're teaching where?
I teach at Mount Royal University.
Okay.
So it's my alumni in the child studies degree, child and youth care counselor major. So that's where I started my journey, was child and youth care.
Okay. And you know I have to ask, what'd you have for breakfast?
I don't want to tell people what I had for breakfast.
Anyone else do like supper for breakfast and breakfast for supper? Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
I eat weird things for breakfast. So I had vegan mac and cheese with a chickpea cutlet for breakfast.
Is that not the healthiest thing you've ever heard of?
Healthy. It's just,
I thought it was healthy. I went to Tim Hortons instead of McDonald's.
I love that.
Thought I was doing pretty good.
That's funny.
So Let me ask, when was the first time you realized that you and the boys might be a bit different?
Mm-hmm. The first time you asked me that, so I've been thinking about this a lot, when I noticed as a girl or a woman, and I knew that there was differences, I knew I had to play with Barbies, but I think the one thing that always stands out for me is that in order to be recognized as a girl in my class, I needed to have a poster of Jonathan Taylor Thomas on my wall. See, you didn't know who Jonathan Taylor Thomas was.
But he was dreamy.
Or the new kids on the block. Like, that was the thing. And so I knew, like, oh, if I want to be with the girls, invited to the slumber parties, I had to have them on my wall. I really didn't care. I didn't care. I liked the music, but I knew that. That was, like, distinct for me.
How did you know that?
Just everybody else was doing it.
Huh.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an unspoken, but everyone knew?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, like, an unspoken rule.
Okay.
as you kind of progress through, so, you know, at certain parts, puberty hits, mm-hmm. and men and women kind of start to diverge.
Yeah.
How did that feel? Like, was that kind of really obvious then? It's like, oh, wow, we're really different.
Yeah, it was the same thing. Like, you knew you had to do things, but it was never really talked about. So you knew that you, like, had to get your period. Like, it wasn't, you knew you had to get it, and right. you knew you had to have a bra okay. at some point. Because you, like, wanted to be seen as a girl, so you had to be wearing, like, a training bra or sports bra,
okay.
or else you weren't, like, a woman. But you also knew in the back of your head that you didn't want to, like, start growing up too much, so you didn't want to have, like, too big of boobs.
Why not?
Yeah, this is happening in church.
This is French church. Everyone's okay with this? Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Yeah, so it's
so why not? Why, like, again, just assume I'm, well, don't assume. I'm dumb at this stuff, so let's just talk like I know nothing.
It's the same for periods and boobs at, like, puberty. So okay. that's, like, how girls know they're going through puberty is you get your period. Mm-hmm. And so you want all your, like, girlfriends to know. You're all talking about it.
Okay.
But then you don't want anybody else to know. So you have these, like, secret ways of hiding your tampons or pads.
Okay.
You, like, yeah, it's like this whole covert thing, but you want people to know. So, and then same with the bra. Like, you want to have boobs, but not too big. And so somewhere in between.
So what's too big? Why not too big?
You just know what's too big. Is this true?
Does anyone,
ladies? Yes.
Do you guys get a manual when you're born or something?
No, it's just this
too big, not
thing.
Big enough.
Yeah, it's this unspoken thing about, like, what a woman is. Same thing for, like, hair. It becomes so physical when you're going through puberty. Like, don't have too short hair, because what does that mean? Or too long hair, what does that mean? It's just be in the middle in this box.
So, like, kind of be perfect.
Yes.
Well, that's easy.
Right. So easy.
So literally at 12 years old, there's already in your head, there's kind of a guidelines of what you need to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not fitting in, you know already that you're not fitting into that guideline.
Mm-hmm. And you can see it when people aren't either. And you don't want to be seen. Like, I think you and I have talked about this. The one thing that's always standing out for me in our conversations is this theme of, like, you want to be seen. So you mm-hmm. want to be seen as a girl or a woman, but you don't want to be too seen.
Why not?
So you and I talked about the why. Like, I think it's because you want to belong.
Huh.
You don't want to stand out. You don't want to be ostracized. You don't want to have shame. You don't want to be bullied. So you just fit in.
It was interesting. And again, I'm going to say a lot of dumb stuff, so just bear with me. You said, if my boobs are too big, then I'm a slut.
Yes. And I don't even know where I got that. Like, at 12 years old, I didn't even know what that meant. But I knew that, like, women who had, like, girls in our grades who had bigger boobs were all of a sudden, like, put in this category that they were more sexual. And if they're more sexual, then that means they're acting out on sex.
Okay.
Which makes... And so it's the same thing with acts of sex. You want to be sexual, but not too sexual.
And the too sexual is about safety.
But, sorry, what do you mean by that?
So you said you want to be seen, but if you're too yeah. seen, is it a safety issue?
I think it's both, yeah. Like, maybe a safety issue of, again, being ostracized or bullied or outed.
Hmm.
You don't want to be out there. You
right.
want to be with the group of people.
And so to be woman is to be kind of in that perfect middle spot?
Yes, in that box of, like, so you can see me, I'm a woman, but I'm not, like, don't see too much of me.
Huh.
Don't take up too much space.
Take up too much space? What do you mean by that?
Like, don't get too loud. Don't get too crazy. Don't enjoy sex. Don't, you know, it's, don't be too much.
Hmm. Can you watch her? You notice her arms are really close to her body? Like,
that makes it sound like T-Rex. Power stance. T-Rex arms.
It's fascinating to me how, as we talk about this, to you it all seems so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And to me it just doesn't seem obvious at all.
Yeah. It's weird because I wouldn't say it was obvious when I was younger. I've done
okay.
a lot of work on this and a lot of work with women in different contexts, working with women in private practice, in addictions, women who are struggling with lots of different issues. And so I've done a lot of work of, like, why do women end up here in these spaces, like, hurt and broken and feeling like they don't belong? And so that's how I've, I, I don't know if I knew it when I was younger, because I did it. And I think about things that I've done and participated in that ostracized other people, and that's horrible. I want young women to feel safe and confident and happy, and not like they have to do those things.
When we first met, I asked you, I think it was one of the first questions, and you answered the question with a question lilt in your voice. Mm-hmm. You said, "Oh, I'm a woman. I always end my sentences with questions."
Yeah, and that's something. So in my studying for licensing exam, that's an exam question. There's a lot of weird exam questions on my licensing exam for psychology, but okay. One of them is, do men or women end with like that question? And it's women. That's an answer in one of my exams.
And does that feel women, right to you with what you've experienced?
I think that it is. Like, I notice that instead of saying, no, let's do this, I'll say, should we do this? Right? There's a difference.
What inside you kind of feels that drive to kind of keep it in the question, not just bam, but like...
Again, it's something I don't think I noticed I was doing until it was named. And then now that I know I do it, I try not to do it. But I think it's just socialized. And it's just something that's happened.
Do you think it's a negative?
I think it can be. I think it can be when I don't speak confidently and I'm not seen for who I am or as a confident person or as a respectable person. I think that it also creates safety. I think that women, because of this belonging piece, much better at creating community. And so in that, I'm not going to just tell you what to do. I'm going to ask you. I want you to come with me, not tell you have to come with me.
I can honestly say that was a skill that I should know more about.
Okay. We can talk about it.
we'll go offline. What was interesting to me, you told me a story about your math teacher. So,
oh, yeah.
Can you share a little bit? It was something that, like, your math teacher kept all the girls aside, and how did that go down?
Yeah, I had so many stories for you about where women were outed or othered and told to stay in this box. So I really loved math. I loved this math teacher until this point, but she kept all the girls back, and I think we're grade 10, 11, and it was spring, so we're getting warmer clothes, and she told us not to wear short skirts or tank tops or tube tops because we are distracting the boys.
And she was like a woman teacher, took you all aside.
Yes.
And said, you need to dress so that we can pay attention to the math class.
Yes. Yes, be mindful of how you look because you're distracting.
And how, like, what grade were you in?
Yeah, I think grade 10, 11.
So how did the grade 10, 11 Jillian, like, what did you feel from that?
Oh, I was angry. I still, like, I was raised by feminists, so I was, I pretty much stopped going to that class. Because I felt this injustice, but I felt like I didn't know what to say. I know that this is an issue that still happens in schools, and I know a lot of youth are fighting back, and so they're actually protesting this, and then they'll have, boys will wear, like, spaghetti strap tank tops and solidarity, which
week.
Is kind of cool,
totally
and, like, skirts, which is cool, but... The fact that that's still happening decades later, it's just, yeah.
And you said in Bible school it got worse.
Yeah.
Because you went to Bible,
Rocky.
Actually, maybe we shouldn't say where we're
going. I said it.
My bad.
Take it back.
What did you hear there?
Same thing. I had one of my first days of school, I was sitting with a friend, and a guy threw his jacket at her and said, you need to cover up, you're tempting me. And she just, like... She was just wearing a t-shirt.
And she, like, what did she do?
She covered up. Yeah. I was very angry.
Okay, well, we're going to first go to... I got questions in my head. I'm trying to figure out how to say them without being stupid. Would you consider... what degree do you see social contract determined traits, and to what extent do you think some of these contracts should change?
Oh, I love that. Great question.
Jump in.
So I think social constructs, I'm married to a social worker. You don't learn this in psychology, but a social construct is something that we build, like we construct these ideas in our society, right? And I think we have a lot of social constructs of what man, woman, everything, church should be. Question. Sorry, I got off track because I got excited defining what a social construct was. How much should they change? I think that they should be challenged in the way that they're if they're not helpful, if they're creating unsafety for people, and I think they do. I think the gender binary that we have, like, this is what man is, this is what woman is, I think it's really toxic for women and for men and for people in relationship with each other. I'm not just talking, like, sexual relationships, I mean community. So yes, I think they should change.
As I've watched this and studied this, so I'm not, this is not my area of expertise, but last reading I've done says that some of our brains are different. And so even the way we process information, well, let's be honest, you can grow a baby inside of you. I so far can't. Again, go science. Let's see if we can get that done. Actually, no, I don't want to have a baby inside me. Take that back. Would that not make us different in some sense?
So I think what's interesting, because my feminist side, in terms of science and research, we know that there's a lot of bias going into research. And so how much of it is truth and how much of it is bias that we're looking for something and we find that answer. But then on the other side, there's a trans woman. She's an activist and she's a scholar. And she's talked about how, so she was raised male and how that impacted her brain, those social constructs in terms of what gender is and what it is to be female. So her coming out and then now living as a woman, how that's changed her brain too. And so I think there's yes and no.
It's both and.
Yeah, I think it's like there is some bias, and that's where I'm like, is this helpful in creating community and understanding and safety and trust in our world, or is it just pushing those binaries more?
So let me do this. So if we look at a bell curve of women, kind of, you know, there's a bell curve in everything we do. So there's some outliers that aren't, I don't mean to say it in a negative sense, but there's people who, there's less of them in our population. There's more kind of the middle of the population. When we talk about the middle of that bell curve, so not people who kind of, the gender binary doesn't work, but people who, no, actually it does work. Not in a way that this is the be all and end all for everyone, but just this is how it works for me. When you talk to those people, while being sensitive to the outliers, do you find that women predominantly are okay with the traits that we often define as female?
Yes and no. See, I'm just going to be in the gray the whole time today.
That works.
I think
But isn't that part of what we're talking about today?
Yeah, it is finding this gray and not this blue and pink. It's gray. I think to give women permission to challenge that, to challenge, like, actually, you can be single and okay. You can choose to not have children. You can choose to have many sexual partners. You can choose to have long hair, short hair. I think when we get to, like, actually have that conversation, I think then people might feel okay where they are.
Okay, so let me push deeper. Okay. So those are kind of like I have short hair because I don't know, I have short hair, you have long hair. That's what I'm trying to get is the deeper traits. So often there's this idea that, again, middle of the bell curve, men's brains seem to focus on a single thing at a time. Women's brains can pay attention to everything at the same time. Let's just say that's a scenario. And I think it's incredible because when I'm focused on a single thing, nothing else exists. So, you know, I was in a trip recently. There's a dad on his phone with his kid. I swear that kid was an inch from dying because the dad was not paying attention. He was paying attention to his phone, so the kid just about died.
Right.
So I'm not saying one's better, one's different. What I'm trying to get is that level traits. When you get to that level, what do you see there?
It's funny because that happened to us in the coffee shop, right, where you're like paying attention to me. Meanwhile, there's a guy trying to steal my purse, and I'm watching him, and I'm watching this interaction and all these things happening.
You're paying attention to everything.
Yeah, you're like, hello, what's going on?
Over here.
And so I've thought about that too in terms of... I wonder if that's how I've built safety, because I have to be aware of what's going on in the space around me to keep myself safe. Where I think that you, I'm assuming you don't feel as threatened in spaces as often as I would.
No, I don't feel unsafe very often.
Yeah. So that's a big difference. And so I think when we dig deeper, and when you're talking about digging deeper, when I think about, yeah, I talked about the physical and sexual relationships, but I think even for women who start to kind of go along the bell curve on the other ends, I think it still shows up in relationship, the gender. So maybe they're like, yeah, I'm all these things that aren't a typical woman, but then somehow it still shows up in relationship and they end up frustrated and like, oh man, I can't believe I'm engaging in this behavior. So I think it does go deeper. It can.
Let's talk about, would you consider this view a North American cultural view?
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm white and I was raised in Western Canada, and so I think that this is my view, right? And I think that culturally it's going to change, for sure. It's very Westernized. I don't have experience with Eastern cultures or even Indigenous cultures. Yeah.
Do you think that we should relate to all genders as if gender's not an issue, that we're just the same?
I think that we should be naming it. Like, I think my goal isn't to, like, erase gender. It's to name how that's impacting how we show up in the world. Yeah.
And is it always bad?
No.
Oh, sorry. I just, as we were talking, I was like, it almost sounds like maybe negative to you.
Gender?
Yeah.
I think when it's unhelpful and unsafe.
Is it ever helpful?
I think it can be. Like I said, like for me, I get so excited when I get to be with a group of women and I get to talk and relate and share these experiences. So I'm doing the workshop next week and it's for women. There's a reason I do those workshops and just for women because I think that's important. I've worked in a women's addictions treatment center and people say, well, gender affects, or addiction affects both genders, yes, but how addiction affects females is very different than males. And they need space to talk about that.
So there is a piece that says gender, whether it's social, whether it's nurture nature, let's put that aside, it does impact. And if we're not aware of the differences, it causes problems. Okay. That makes sense. I get triggered when men ask me why when I'm explaining how I feel. Is this normal? And if so, how do I overcome this?
I'm smiling because of our interaction.
Okay.
Can I share?
Hit me.
So, because you kept asking me why. Why? And I was so, like, angry. I was like, oh, my God, stop asking me why.
Okay, so it was 1 second. Her anger was like this.
It's professional anger.
It wasn't this, like, what are you doing, closet?
I did go home and went for a 2-hour walk with my partner, and it's like, oh, why does that why get to me? Because you're like trying. And I heard in that moment, what I heard is like, that's absurd.
Oh.
Let's find a solution.
Really?
And move forward. And I was like, no, it is how it is because we want belonging.
Because it's okay.
Yeah. And so how do we have both acceptance and change?
So the why felt presuppose that there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
How often have you heard people talk one gender to another like the problem is there's something wrong with them?
All the time. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Well,
why?
I did it,
why?
Right?
Why?
And I always try to be really, for me it was, if I can understand deeper, then maybe I can be more respectful.
Yeah, and so when I teach counseling skills, I always say never ask why, because it's a closed-ended yes or no, and it feels very, like, aggressive. So if you really want to know more, I say ask, like, oh, tell me more about that feeling, or, like, what happened for you to get to that feeling. It takes us in a very different direction, because I feel like when you're like, why? I'm like, because. Jeez.
Back off, closet. Back off.
Yeah.
You know I really don't want to ask why now.
I know.
There,
but I've noticed you change that even since we've met. Like, even today I notice you're like, why? And you just thought, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
For me, that focus, really direct focus like that, is because I care.
Right.
But for you, it comes across in a negative sense.
Yes.
Like, it comes across judgy or harsh or demanding. Like, I need you to think about it this way and then answer me in this way.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Thanks.
That was offside on my part.
But I've noticed it shift. And so now we have a whole group of people that will be like, why? Oh.
I reserve the right to ask why sometimes, though. What quantities do you think are lacking in our spiritual culture because we mostly use pronouns, male pronouns for gods, and mostly patriarchal structure?
Oh, that's so great.
Actually, I can even answer that one.
You should.
That's, folks, do you know that gender in the Bible is not an issue of gender like we talk about it? Gender in the Bible is, in the language, there's masculine words and feminine words. They're not gendered. It's just, anyone who knows French, you guys know French, right? There's male and female, masculine and feminine pronouns. Same thing in the Bible. So us translating as male has nothing to do with the Bible. It has to do with a patriarchal society that saw primarily certain gods as male. So I'd encourage you, whenever you read the Bible, read her or it or they or something. Don't just be stuck with he, because that's just the translator being lazy. Is that fair?
Yeah, I remember when The Shack came out, and it was like mind-blowing for people that God could be a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh yeah, like that, because I wasn't raised in the church, I never had that like God in the sky, white beard, white man thing. Mm. It wasn't. My experience was so much in nature and in relationship with people, so yeah, it made sense.
So we're getting close to the end. This just went like that, didn't it?
It does.
So let me ask this. I'll push you a little bit in terms of my style.
Okay.
If there was characteristics that you wanted men to be aware of about women that would help us love better, what would they be?
I think it's, can I challenge that it's, I want you to be aware of your characteristics and how you show up in space.
Sure.
And take up space and take over space.
Can you say it with a little less jargon?
Yes.
Hit me.
One time after school, oh my gosh. One time after work, I had a flat tire, so I used to bike commute.
Okay.
And there was one man in our building. We had like a staff of 40 women, and he just like took over the room, took over what I was doing, and was like, let me show you how to change a tire. I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for help. I can change a bike tire. I bike commute. And then he just left, and he's like, you're welcome. Thank God I was here. And I was like, oh. That's
a harsh
gender. I know. I'm sorry. Well, you wanted to push deeper, so I'm not apologizing. But
don't.
Right in that. So it's. I want you to be aware that we have an amazing voice and we have an amazing journey because of how much we've been pushed in this box. And I think in our later life, we want to start getting out of that box, and so make space for us to get out of that.
So that felt like he was demanding you be a certain way.
Yes, like I didn't know what I was doing because I have a vagina. I get to say vagina in church now. I'm good.
This is French church. We've said a lot crazier stuff. So for you, that interaction was interpreted as it's demeaning. Like he's thinking the least of me.
Yes. And I think that happens in so much spaces in like leadership and community, in our work, in our family system, like in our house.
So, he steps into your life. It's an interesting piece. How, if you want to help someone, how do you help them?
Ask.
Without demanding, or without, how did you say, taking up space?
Yeah, I'd say, like, it would be great if he came in like, oh, hey, do you need a hand? No, I'm good, I got it. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Right?
So go broader than that. That's a good example.
Yeah, that is a really specific. But
yeah.
So I think about family and how gender roles just all of a sudden happen. And so we take those from society. We take them from our families. But there's lots of times in relationships I've woken up and be like, why the F am I making dinner every day? Because I'm a woman in this relationship? Like, no. And like it just happened. And so I'd say like sitting down and being like, hey, why do I do this? Oh, I actually love cooking.
Okay, so what, right? You switched it though. Keep it at, like, was it a man who made you do that? Or how does it feel to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't that it was made. It just like, it just happens. And I think it happens in leadership roles, in like, in our workplace, in our families. And just, I want us to all like take a step back and be like, why do I do this? Where did this come from? Is this like a healthy message for me from the church, from society? Is this a healthy message in my family? Or should I be doing something different? Like, can I negotiate this differently?
So what I'm hearing you say is, it's okay to question it.
Yeah.
It's okay to do it. If
right.
you love cooking,
totally.
Great, bring it.
Yes.
If you don't like cooking, great, bring that too.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's something underneath that if I use a translation matrix, when you say, I'm not sure about cooking dinner, I should hear that a lot louder than, maybe I shouldn't cook dinner, maybe I don't like this.
Yeah.
It should be taken as, wait, I really want to redo this. Like, let's look at this again.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I want to be seen in this relationship, not just be told what to do.
But your voice won't be really loud in that context.
Mm-hmm.
You won't yell and be like, screw this.
I will now, where I'm at in my life. But
okay.
I think for a long time, no.
And for women, if we look in the middle of the bell curve, is that pay very close attention to those moments? When you hear a little bit of vocal, like a little bit of something standing up, it's like the natural taking up space is really not as easy for you guys. So when you guys say, hey, it's like, okay, stop quite quickly and be like, okay. Not wrestle it out and be like, well, if you can outdo me, then yeah, we'll do this.
Right. It goes back to that, like, you want to be seen, but not too seen. Because even if you think about politics. I mean, we just had an election. Yep. Okay, are you looking at time?
Yep.
Got it. I was like, ooh, no politics, we can't go there. You see how men are, if they speak up and get loud, they're assertive, they're confident. When women are doing that in the media, it's like they're angry. Oh, why are you so angry? Like, well, no, I'm not angry, I'm just confident and asking for what I need. And so I think as a society, we need to be aware of like when we apply that label to people. But yeah, I think that it is hard to take up space as a woman because you're wanting to be seen and not too seen. And like, you want to be loud, but not too loud. Yeah.
I think we're out of time. Folks, can we say thank you?
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've done a lot of interviews with a lot of people. I got to say, I was most nervous about this one. Not because of what she would say, but because of what I would say. And saying something dumb, saying something inappropriate, saying something off, not being understood, not communicating well, not being confident, not being too confident. But I think you can tell even from us talking, this isn't easy. This is something that takes a lot of awareness, a lot of thinking, a lot of wrestling, a lot of understanding, a lot of being open. Today I want you guys, not you guys, y'all. We got to figure out that second person plural pronoun. I want to invite you to be open. Be open to difference. Be open to seeing someone different. Be open to someone speaking out and saying, hey, I want to do this differently. Be open. I don't think we can love each other well without having these conversations. And I can tell even with this one, this is the beginning of the conversation. Jillian was great to be open with us, to talk with us. But I don't know about you, but I haven't got it all figured out in my head now. I don't know what to do half the time. I don't know what to do 90% of the time. Still going, did I change someone's tire for them? Oh, crap, what was I thinking? Shoot. I want to encourage you to be open. Often the male trait is to sound confident. The female trying to just to have that question at the end. I think to love our female neighbors, we need to have the question at the end of what we say. Not women are this, but is this who you are? Is this what I can do to help you? Is this what I can do to love you? So I want to encourage that we end today with a little less confidence and a little more openness to learning how to love our female neighbor. Have a great week, everyone.